We'll hear from Lois Utley, who is the director of the Murder Watch Project, which works to protect access to reproductive health care when non-religious community hospitals merge with religiously sponsored hospitals that prohibit some reproductive health services. She is also co-founder of Raising Women's Voices for the Healthcare We Need, a national initiative working to ensure that women's health concerns are identified, articulated, and addressed in health reform policy. Ms. Utley has been active in APHA, having served as chair of the Action Board, as well as co-chair of the Joint Policy Committee and an ex officio member of the Executive Board. She received the Felicia Stewart Award for Advocacy from APHA's Population, Reproductive, and Sexual Health section in 2008. Ms. Utley is president-elect of the Public Health Association of New York City and chair of the Universal Health Care Task Force of the New York Alliance for Women's Health. She earned a master's in public affairs and policy from the Nelson A. Rockefeller College of Public Health Affairs and Policy at the University of Albany, New York. Welcome.
Okay. Tell me the secret of advancing this.
Just click
the right one.
Spacebar
is the best. Okay, thanks. Okay. So I've been promoted as being the good news part, and there is some good news in here, but it's very hard work and it's very complicated. And so I wanted to begin by first acknowledging my colleague Sheila Reinertsen, who is here in the front row. Just raise your hand, Sheila. Sheila is our full-time advocacy coordinator for Merger Watch, and she is the one who is doing this day in and day out now with me jumping in and out, doing some health reform work and some hospital merger work. And so she's the one who's working with all these folks out in the communities all across the nation. We're going to be celebrating the 15th anniversary of the Merger Watch project next year. And since we began it in 1997, we've now worked on more than 90 cases all across the country of these Catholic and secular mergers. And they take an average of 16 months to complete. More recently, sometimes 4 years. So these are really long-term stretches in which we have to hang in there with patients and physicians and nurses and try to do the best we can to work out a good solution. So I wanted to first alert you all that these hospital mergers are on the rise. Lewin Associates is predicting that this year will be a record-breaking year for mergers and acquisitions in the healthcare industry. The reasons have to do with the recession, with tight credit, with worries about the impact of health reform and the deficit reduction effort on hospital revenues. And one of the trade journals that we follow, Becker's Hospital Review, you know, is saying that these partnerships are occurring at an accelerated rate, almost as if they were going out of style. So a subset of all these mergers, of course, is the mergers involving religious or secular hospitals. And as Sarah has pointed out, most often the problem with a religious hospital is with a Catholic hospital. There are typically demands that the historically secular hospital and its staff follow the ERDs that we've heard about. There are bans on all these services that we've discussed, as well as potential denial of end-of-life choices. It's not accurate, actually, to say that they will not honor your advance directive. There are just certain things in the advance directive that they might not honor if it conflicts with Catholic teaching. And there's oversight by the local Catholic bishop, and we've heard about the one in Phoenix recently. I want to note that religiously sponsored systems really dominate the list of the largest nonprofit health systems in the U.S. These are the largest nonprofit health systems in the U.S., and the only one that is not religious is that white one, the Kaiser Hospital. So look at that, these huge systems. What used to be the little independent Catholic hospital in your town is now part of a huge system that has market power and has political power and really can gobble up other hospitals and subject patients and physicians to these directives. As I said, we've been created in 1997. We have several current cases that we're working on that I just wanted to flag for you in case you happen to be from those areas. Louisville, Kentucky is a huge case that we've been working on. Waterbury, Connecticut, there are two hospitals there, one Catholic and one non-Catholic. They are both being purchased by a for-profit system, which has agreed to the demand from the Catholic hospital that the resulting merger, even though it's owned by a for-profit secular system and is a 50-50 bring together of one secular and one Catholic, the resulting entity is going to be Catholic and ban all these services. We have two going on in the state of Washington, one in Seattle and one in Skagit County, and we have two going on in Colorado, Denver and Colorado Springs. And if you are from any of those, see Sheila afterwards. She'd be happy to work with you. This is a kind of a fun picture of some of the people we worked with in Sierra Vista, Arizona. The case where Julie's colleague from the Center for Reproductive Rights, we sent her down there to do interviews, and we were so thrilled that she was able to spend a lot of time and get all these stories. This is the group of ladies who stood out with these signs every single day outside the hospital, picketing the hospital. They did marches, they did an incredible amount of work, and the merger was called off this past spring, so we were thrilled with that. The kinds of things that we do with these communities, a lot of it is community education and mobilization. This is a group in Chicago that was protesting that West Suburban case that you heard about. We help analyze the terms of the proposed merger, like what would it really do, and the impact on services. We help them do rallies and public forums. We coach them on how to meet with officials of the non-religious hospital to try to figure out some of the creative solutions I'm going to talk about in a minute. They have sample letters to the editor, sample public testimony, whatever you need, we can send samples of it. We also collaborate very closely with the National Women's Law Center on some of the regulatory interventions that we can sometimes come up with to slow down or prevent these mergers. So in states that have hospital certificate of need processes, we can intervene on behalf of consumers, demand preservation of access to reproductive health care. We've had some success, including in that Sierra Vista case, with approaching attorneys general, with basically saying, look, this hospital has not been religious in its whole history, and they took donations from people, charitable donations, that were given under the assumption that this was not a religious hospital and it was going to continue to provide reproductive health care. Well, now they're tricking the people and using their money for a religious purpose. So that's a no-no under the charitable assets theory. And so we've been able to get some of those secular hospitals to have to at least give some money for one of these solutions I'm going to talk about in a minute to keep reproductive health available in the community. So let's talk a little bit about some of the emerging creative solutions that we've been working on. I'm going to talk about two types of ways for carving out reproductive health care from the secular hospital that is now going to come under Catholic restrictions. The first is separately incorporated ambulatory surgery centers that are located beside secular hospitals that are becoming Catholic. And the second is separately incorporated condominium hospitals within secular hospitals that are adopting Catholic restrictions. There have been early attempts at these kind of carve-outs that have met with a lot of Vatican opposition. St. Vincent Medical Center in Little Rock, Arkansas, for example, had purchased the secular doctor's hospital across the street. And prior to the acquisition, the physicians at Doctor's Hospital had performed abortions and sterilizations there. Abortions were disallowed, but the physicians were allowed to lease one room in the hospital to perform sterilizations under the name of the Arkansas Women's Health Center. However, the Vatican ordered this arrangement ended in 1999, citing what Sarah referred to as scandal. And they then called sterilization a grievous sin. Another attempt was made in Austin, Texas at the Brackenridge Hospital. This is a city-owned safety net hospital. In the mid-1990s, the city decided that it didn't know how to run a hospital and needed to get out of the hospital business, and so it put an RFP out for hospital systems to come in and run this hospital. They selected Seton Healthcare, a Catholic system, which then introduced the ERDs. There was a compromise that allowed city-paid workers to provide reproductive health services, accept abortions in the hospital. So the theory was, as long as the Catholic system wasn't involved in the money part of this, if the city paid for it, it'd be all right. However, someone ratted this arrangement out to the Vatican, which then came around and told them no good. So there had to be a renegotiation of the contract. Here's what they came up with, the $9 million solution. The first four floors of the hospital are managed by Seton Healthcare, and they are under the Catholic restrictions. The fifth floor was taken back by the city, and it is now managed by the University of Texas Medical Branch. It's something called Austin Women's Hospital, and that is where they do all reproductive services except abortions, which even though this is not under the Catholic directives and is in a city-owned hospital, they agreed to not allow abortions. I want to point out the yellow special elevator to floor five. It was not permitted for patients to come in the front door of the hospital and ask, oh, where is the Austin Women's Hospital or where can I get EC? That was deemed material cooperation with sin by the Vatican and by Seton Healthcare. So the city had to construct a separate elevator up the outside of the building to get women up there, and that is how they get there. Okay, so now fast forward to recent years. And here's the first example, Kingston Ambulatory Surgery Center. A hospital right-sizing commission ordered secular Kingston Hospital and Catholic Benedictine to merge. They were located within a mile of each other. We had helped the community there defeat two previous attempts to merge these two hospitals because they were going to ban all the reproductive health services. This time, we couldn't stop the merger, so we had to figure out what to do. And these were the principles that the women in the community came up with as we actually go and sit and work directly with women in the community. They wanted to protect access to abortion services. This hospital actually did 190 abortions a year, which is more than usual because there were not other abortion providers in the area. They wanted women to be able to continue to have postpartum tubals in the hospital. They wanted proper treatment of ectopic pregnancies and miscarriages, and they wanted the staff to be able to be free to discuss all treatment options and make appropriate referrals. Good principles. So here's what we came up with here. The yellow box is called the Foxhall Ambulatory Surgery Center. It was created with a combination of a state grant and some money from the Kingston Hospital Foundation. So we moved the abortions over into the Foxhall Ambulatory Surgery Center, along with interval tubal ligations and vasectomies. But then we had to figure out, okay, what about the postpartum tubals? And in this case, we were able to get a special dispensation from the Archdiocese to allow postpartum tubals to continue. They decided to call it continuation of procedure. The procedure is the woman is having a baby. And in continuation of that, we're just giving her a tubal ligation. We managed to get consolidated at Kingston all the things that we were worried about, like maternity care, ER, acute care, and Benedictine now has drug and alcohol rehab and specialty care. Pros: you can do abortions because it is next to, not within, the hospital that is now merged with a Catholic hospital. This, in fact, is a picture of the center. And I don't know if you can see, but there's a building right behind it. That is Kingston Hospital. It's actually like that close. It's in the parking lot. Because it's an ambulatory surgery center, it's not only a women's health center, which helps preserve the anonymity of the patients. They could be going in to get foot surgery or eye surgery or whatever, and it's not known that they're going in to get abortions. The cons are, of course, that you couldn't get the postpartum tubals in there, so we had to get them in the hospital. The location is key. The Kingston Center originally was going to be in a medical office building across the street, which was located next to the anti-choice headquarters for Ulster County. And we had the local Planned Parenthood bring in the PPFA security analyst who looked at the medical office building and said, no way are you going to make this safe for women who need abortions. So we had to get it moved. And then there is a concern about the long-term financial viability of the center. It's currently open only 2 days a week. And that's because, remember, the hospital helped create this thing, and it's in its parking lot. Does it really want competition from something it helped create? So it artificially depresses the amount of services that are going on there. Other communities that are considering using this model at the moment include Waterbury. We're trying to get a separate center set up there, but there's a huge anti-choice opposition in a very Catholic community. And let me give you the second example now, which is in Troy. We just opened this 2 weeks ago. A lot of hospitals merging in the Troy area. And the only two hospitals in Troy, one Catholic and one non-Catholic, were going to be merged because of this. These were the services that were threatened at Samaritan Hospital, a secular hospital. And so in this case, we have a hospital within the hospital. It's called the Burdett Care Center. It's a separately incorporated condo hospital. It has its own board, its own staff, and its own financing. And you can see there's just a sign that says go to the second floor. Here's the grand opening that Sheila and I went to. The pros: all maternity care from both of the hospitals in Troy was consolidated into this center. So that gives it the needed volume for financial stability. It also is better from a practice standpoint, right? The more deliveries you're doing, the better you're doing at them. And so instead of two hospitals doing fewer than 1,000, you have a combined volume. They're providing postpartum and interval tubal ligations there, also vasectomies and contraception. And interestingly, the Catholic hospital had a midwife-centered model of care that actually we liked a lot better than what they were doing at Samaritan, so that ended up being incorporated in this center. The cons: no abortions are allowed because of the Catholic opposition. There weren't too many, and there are some other providers nearby. And this thing costs $7.5 million to get around the Catholic restrictions. It was a major headache right near the end, the last month before it opened. We had to get CMS to approve this hospital for reimbursement purposes, and they started to freak out about whether this was in fact a separate hospital. It had to meet separateness standards. So the plans to have, you know, like the on-call doctor would be like in the same building just down the hall were nixed because it wasn't in the Burdett Care Center, it was in Samaritan Hospital. So that added a lot of cost to this thing. And medical record keeping, CMS forced the hospital to put a whole big operation within the Burdett Care Center instead of purchasing it from Samaritan Hospital. So this is a whole evolving thing. We have a grant from the New York State Health Foundation. We're conducting a study of these and other case examples, and look for our briefing paper on this next spring. Thank you.